It's John Molinaro. John, hey, look what we have here. Seattle and TFC for a second straight year. I wanted to get some news on the field today. Jose Altidor, the injury situation. Can you update us on everything that is Jose, and can we expect him to start on Saturday afternoon?
Yeah, so he was in training today, which was he took part in for the first time since injuring his ankle in the game last Wednesday. It wasn't full training. He was just participated in portions of the practice session, but he's in a much better condition than he was in last week. Coach Greg Vanney saying he's showing steady improvement and that he's actually much further along than they thought he would be. And they're going to sort of improve the intensity of his training regime each day, and to the point where they feel pretty confident that he's going to be able to play on Saturday. And then Jose also spoke to reporters later in the day today and was just saying, and basically admitted that, look, it's not going to be 100%, but that, he'll be ready to go for Saturday. So by all indications, he's going to play in Saturday's game against Seattle.
That's good news for TFC fans. So we see the same two teams back-to-back years. Can you narrow it down and give me like a statement of comparing these two teams from this year and last year and how they differed? Is this a better Seattle team? Is this a better TFC team? Do you see any differences between the basically 365 days apart?
I think they're better teams than they were last year. I mean, you have to remember too that Seattle last year, they didn't have Clint Dempsey, their star American forward, who was out for the game through injury. You know, he's back in the mix, and he's, was in, solid goal scoring form this season. They added another veteran forward in Will Bruin, who, last year with Houston didn't have a very good year, but was really had a kind of an Indian summer, so to speak. He was really a pleasant surprise this year. So I think Seattle is just a balanced side. They have real depth all over the position, all over the field, and defensively, pretty solid. I mean, they haven't conceded a goal in six games dating back to the regular season. Haven't conceded a single goal in the playoffs. So they're going to be a tough team to break down. And as far as Toronto, I mean, same side as last year. But the only thing I would say is the major addition and major difference was, Victor Vasquez. I think, the Spaniards' addition has been, was what has really elevated this team to another level. They were always missing that sort of creative playmaker and guy who could serve as the creative midfield link and really get the ball, forward up to the feet of Jose Altidor and Sebastian Giovinco in a timely manner. And he's done that. I think he's been, one of the best newcomers to the league and one of the best players in the league, to be honest, quite frankly. So it's a different TFC side. It's a different Seattle side. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out on Saturday evening.
John, I was really excited to get you on the show today, but I don't like when you come in at, 15 after instead of the top of their bottom, because we don't like play that jazz.
Come on, John.
You don't have the jazz music playing, it just gets...
I should have played my own, Sherry.
Yeah, I know, you should have. It's just not the same. That's all I got to say. But in this do or die game, do the Reds have the most pressure? Because it's talked about who has the pressure in this game. Do they have it because they're at home? Do they have it for being, the top dog all season? Do they have it because they lost last year and losing this game would be just a bust of a season? Who has the pressure?
I think it's for all those reasons you said. It's they know that they outplayed Seattle last year and that by all rights they should have won, and Seattle managed to hold on and win the MLS Cup in their backyard. That stings. I mean, they can say all they want about how they've moved on from it, but believe me, they haven't forgotten about it. So the pressure's on them for that. The pressure's on the fact that, they're playing at home again. The pressure's on that, they were the best team by far in Major League Soccer this season. I mean, they had the greatest regular season in league history. It's all been sort of leading to this point, right? It's all been about getting back to MLS Cup and righting the horrible wrong that took place last year. So I don't think there's any doubt that they're under more pressure than Seattle. I mean, Seattle really doesn't have anything to lose. I mean, this is all on Toronto, right? That said, though, I mean, I don't think they've really sort of let the pressure get to them. I mean, they've been pretty cool and pretty pretty cool in practice this week. And I don't get the sense that this is weighing on their mind too much. I think they understand that. What the situation is, but in terms of pressure, I'm not necessarily thinking that they're going to wilt under the pressure all that much.
The Sounders have lost just two games since the end of June and are unbeaten since early October. And so many people are saying that they are just the best, most solid team coming in here. So what is the one key? Is it containing Clint Dempsey?
I think so. I think that's part of it. I think it's, I think probably the bigger issue is breaking down that defense. And it might take some time, but they have to be patient. You know, as I said, they haven't conceded a goal in the four playoff games this year, and they haven't conceded in six games straight. So they've frustrated teams. They've been a hard team to break down. So for me, I think Toronto just has to sort of go about it in a very systematic fashion and do what they've always done, which is, you know, play at opposing teams quick and fast and try to get them, you know, whichever way they can. But if it doesn't happen for them at first, then don't get frustrated. Just continue to do what they do. You don't necessarily have to change things up. I think, you know, patience is required here, and they can't get frustrated if they're not able to get to open up, you know, Seattle's defense, you know, early on in the game. They just have to, you know, keep at it and keep doing what they're doing.
We're in conversation with John Molinaro. It's Sportsnet's chief soccer reporter. This is Sportsnet Tonight, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. David Bastel alongside Sherry Ford talking TFC. Greg Vanney, named manager of the year. It's a great accomplishment. Everything looks good as far as the resume is concerned. How has he changed over the course of a year? You follow this team on a day-to-day basis. What has he learned in the last year that he's bringing into this game as opposed to last year's game?
I think he's just sort of shown a great maturity and growth. I think, you know, the MLS Cup final loss last year was a learning experience for him. I think, you know, that total playoff run, in fact, was, I think, an incredible learning experience for Greg. I think he gleaned a lot from that. It was his first time really leading the team through a playoff run. So I think he's in a better position now to, you know, I think, the Reds are where they are right now because of what they went through last year, and you know, Greg was obviously at the forefront of that. I think what his greatest strength, though, is just the way he sort of manages this team from management position. I mean, he's got a lot of talented players on that roster here of his, and not everyone can play, and yet he managed to get everyone to buy in and, you know, accept the way that he wants to play and the fact that not everyone is going to get, you know, an opportunity every week. And yet there's no sort of malcontents there. I think they've all accept that, you know, that they're in it for the greater good, and that if they don't get as much playing time as they like, that's just the way it is. It's because the competition is so fierce. So the fact that he's been able to keep everyone happy and get everyone to, you know, buy into this collective attitude that he's been, you know, imparted into the team, I think that says a lot about, you know, his coaching ability, and what he's brought to this franchise.
I'm kind of curious, and I'm just throwing this out there, a little bit of a nugget. Considering that Vanney has international experience with the American side as a player, and what has happened to that side, especially not advancing to the World Cup in Russia, is there, from an American perspective, would they consider a Greg Vanney taking the keys to that national program eventually when they actually decide who they want managing their side? And could that be something that TFC is obviously, you know, not interested in at all because they don't want to lose the guy that's guided them to back-to-back championship games?
I think it's something that could eventually happen. I just don't think it'll happen next year. I think, you know, the U.S. is being very wise in not sort of going out and trying to hire a new manager right away. I think what they're going to do is they're going to wait until next summer's World Cup is over, because then, you know, a lot of high-profile coaches will be out of work, you know, because they'll either be fired or they'll be moved on from their previous teams, and that'll open up the, you know, pool of candidates wide open, and then they can, you know, have a, you know, a much wider selection of people to choose from. I think one day Greg, you know, I could totally see him coaching the national team. I just think it's too early for him right now. I mean, he's still a young man. He's only 42, 43. He's only been a head coach in MLS for 3 or 4 years now. So, you know, he doesn't have that as much experience as I think the U.S. national team program wants. I get the sense from talking to my colleagues who cover the U.S. national team that, you know, the U.S. Soccer Federation is really looking for an experienced hand and someone who's gone through World Cup qualifying and has been to the World Cup. So, and Greg doesn't meet that profile. Now, again, I think he is a bright young prospect, coaching prospect in this league, a very bright young manager. I could totally see him taking over the U.S. national team in a few years. I just don't think it's in the cards right now. And Toronto, you're absolutely right, wouldn't be in no rush to see him leave. I mean, he's the first manager who's ever got a second contract. And he's had a major hand in, you know, where this franchise is right now, both on the field and I think in just changing the culture of this team, because it wasn't that long ago that this was a laughingstock of a franchise, and you know, it was a real poisonous climate within the halls of TFC. And I think Greg has had a major role in changing all that during his time here.
John, I haven't enjoyed the playoffs. I really haven't, because I don't like this not scoring business, and I kind of right. like a lead so that I can relax, because it's all about me. But this is not the same team I saw that, you know, won the Supporters' Shield this season, and they almost had to scratch and claw in every playoff game. Like, so should fans be concerned or nervous? And by fans, I mean me. Like, should because I'm feeling really nervous about the game.
Well, I'm not going to tell you how you should feel, but no, I don't think you should be. And you know, this is it's an interesting point you raise, and it's one that they've talked a lot about the last couple of weeks. And I think Michael Bradley has spoken, you know, perfectly to it. And he said, look, anyone who expected us to play the same way and to dominate the way we did in the regular season, now in the playoffs, you know, you're just being naive. It's the playoff soccer is a totally different animal. You have to learn how to win different ways. You have to grind it out, because you know, the margins of error are a lot more smaller, and you get punished, you know, with every little mistake. Whereas in, you know, a 34-game regular season, there's a far greater margin of error that you're afforded. So, you know, Bradley said it, I think, perfectly when he said, you know, it's naive to think we could have, you know, played the way we did all through the MLS playoffs. And, you know, I think it's, you know, we saw last year, right, in the MLS Cup final. I mean, they came out and played properly, quote unquote, and Seattle just kind of sat back and bunkered, and you know, they ended up winning. And I think they took a valuable lesson from that, and I think that was the lesson that they learned, that you know, you don't have to be beautiful all the time. You just have to win by any means. And you know, Bradley and a lot of the players have said, you know, especially after the New York series, where that was a pretty scrappy series, and you know, they got through on the away goals, and it was the 1-0 loss in the second leg where it looked like they were going to lose, but they just lose the tie, but they just managed to hold on. And afterwards, you know, Bradley said, look, we're not going to make any apologies for the way we played. I mean, you know, we got through, and that's all that matters. And that's what I would tell you, to stop being a worrywart and just deal with it.
John, who wins and what's your score?
Oh God. Tough one.
That's unfair.
I'm going to say Toronto will pull it out, but it'll be a very tight game. It won't be terribly exciting, but I think they'll pull it out 1-0 with a goal from Sebastian Giovinco off a free kick too.
I was going to say that would be a sweet way of doing it. We'll see that goal. That'll be the goal of the year in Toronto if that happens. I like it. John,
yeah, absolutely.
John, thanks for doing this, and enjoy the game. It will be a lot of fun on the weekend.
No problem. Have faith, Sherry. Have faith.